Oof. Born and raised in Switzerland. Both my parents grew up on farms. I didn't, but close enough. And I have a background in automotive technician, so I'm a hands-on guy with machines. But I do also have a degree in social work, which may surprise you. I came to Canada when I was in my late 20s, moved here. Well, what makes men move? It's usually work or a woman. Moved here for love and fell in love with the country and the place where I landed in the Okanagan Valley. It's a beautiful spot. I traveled the world extensively in my younger years, and this is it. Don't tell anybody. Worked here as in a technical field for a few years. Built business, sold business, and then as this is a fruit growing region, fell into processing these beautiful apples and cherries that grow here abundantly, primarily with the motivation of reducing food waste. As you may know, that a lot of the fruit gets called out and just in a lot of cases just dumped in the dump. And so when we saw the opportunity to do something with that fruit, we jumped on it and started our mobile juicing services. This is now over 10 years ago, and we're still doing that to this day. We travel the valley up and down and get cull fruit and juice them up, and the finished product actually stays with the farmer as a value-added product. Fill into bag and box, and over the rise of the cider industry over the last 10 years, we have grown with that and have provided service for various cideries in the valley and outside of the valley, with providing them with pressing services so they don't have to. What came apparent pretty quick is that the current pressing methods in North America, they kind of lag behind the technology that they had developed in Europe for this. And we were in the fortunate position that coming from Europe, we had insight into that technology. And after working on the trailer and being very labor intensive and very time consuming, we decided this can't be it. And we went back and looked at different manufacturers to find better ways to process this abundance of fruit that we had here. And we landed on a Kreuzmeyer Bell Press and a destoner, and brought one of these machines over and integrated it into our existing trailer, and it changed our operation. We were now able to actually grow, and grow we did. We upgraded to the next size press, and then we upgraded the trailer, and then we upgraded another trailer, and up to the point where we are now, where we actually moved into a stationary facility as well as still running the trailer. But our production went from 2 to 3 bins an hour to 20 to 30 bins an hour, just with the ability to actually do that in a cost-effective, efficient way with Kreuzmeyer machines. And because of my background in the technical field, I was approached by some of our farmers that we service to get one of these machines ourselves. And so the relationship with the manufacturer, actually, we started promoting these machines in the valley and outside of the valley. And we've done it quite successfully, so that we now are able to represent the Kreuzmeyer machines in all of North America, including support and service, installation, rebuilding, maintenance of these machines. We do have a very in-depth knowledge of these machines because of the fact that we are actually running these machines to this day ourselves. And as you may know, being in the farming landscape, harvest times are very intense, and so the use of these machines during the harvest times are very intense. They run daily and they run hard. So we have a very good understanding of what they can and can't do, and what's needed and necessary to run them efficiently and effectively, and what needs to be done to maintain them so that they can run long and hard when they need to. The first years were romantic. It was me and my wife Kristen, and we just traveled to orchards and happy-go-lucky and juiced and spent the nights in a tent under the trees on the farmer's fields and moved to the next place the next day. Long, hard days, 10, 12, 15-hour days, moving, traveling, problems with machines. Yeah, lots of Tylenol and painkillers and rubbing oils and hard work. We had a rack and cloth press on the first iteration of the trailer. It wasn't a Kreuzmeyer machine, it was another party, and it was very labor intensive. But it was me and my wife, and we were happy out there sleeping under the stars. It was great. There is no quick money or something like that, you know? There's no shortcuts. Like, you gotta do an honest and good quality service and product, because at the end of the day, your relationships to your clients is what carries you through. And I mean, we always tried to be as authentic and honest as we can as a person, but also as a company, because honesty and integrity lasts the longest. There is no, oh, we're gonna, you know, make a quick buck here and there. I mean, we all work for a suntan. I mean, for money. So it's, yes, we do, you know, wanna support ourselves and our families and the people that work with us. But yeah, there's no shortcuts. Changes in the industry? We've seen twofold. One is the bottles, the glass bottles. Here in the valley, we had a lot of glass bottles, kind of diamond neck, and since the introduction of our services into bag-in-box, which is the normal wine kind of style bag-in-box, those bottles have pretty much gone. The high-end sparkling cider may have, soft cider may have a little bit, you know, still has a place, but the straight apple juice at the farm stands is bag-in-box. So that has, we have brought in that change, and that change has been there ever since. Nobody does glass bottles anymore. In the hard cider industry, we have seen just bigger volumes, and we have seen places that don't really have apples to start up cideries. Yeah, just people move away from, you know, the lower ends beers and ciders, and as they get educated about craft cider, they actually appreciate the quality of the product, and thus there is more work for us to do to press apples. Yeah, it seems to be a generational shift, and has been for about the last 5 years. So what we've seen is that a lot of the older farmers that have had orchards, they have either passed them on to the younger generation, if the orchard was viable and large enough, or they have sold their smaller parcels, and the bigger orchardists have gobbled up those smaller parcels and added more to their inventory. Where the smaller orchards that have been taken over by the younger generation, they have tend to diversify and add value-added product to their offerings, just because the price of the apple per se in terms of the packing houses has gone down. It seems that it has become harder to make money from just growing apples. And what's interesting is that in the beginning of our pressing, especially in the bag and box products, it only made sense for Call Apples to make that product work. So, you know, you get, I don't know, 3.2 pounds per apples in a liter of juice, and you know, you have to sell the liter at a certain amount to make, you know, a little bit of money on that. And now you can actually use fresh apples, first grade apples, that you get paid so little from the packing house now that it doesn't matter whether you use good apples or Call Apples to make that bag and box juice, you'll still make money. And the younger generation has kind of diversified into these value-added products, and that's what we see. There's a lot of, you know, apple chips and, you know, juices and blends and other products that have come out of farms to just add on to their offerings. I like to be connected to the seasons and the ground, the earth. As I said earlier, both my parents come from farming backgrounds. I remember stomping grapes with my father's family down in southern Italy and Sicily. When I was a kid, I remember that very clearly. I used to go and ride the donkey with my grandfather into the vineyards, and I hold that little part precious. So it's a precious part of my childhood that I see a little bit in the work we do now. It's very rewarding to be able to help the farmers with their needs and you know, hopefully make a bit of a better living. Yeah, and I like the seasonal work. It's very intense during season, and then you kind of go a bit more sleepy in the winter, and you know, my other life is snowboarding, so I get to do that too. You know, CiderCon is a really good example of I think how we move in this landscape. Whenever we go there, it's like visiting old family or friends. We have generally a very good relationship with our clients, and you know, I can walk up to them and I can give them a hug or a handshake, and I can look them in the eyes. And I'm enjoying those relationships. I'm grateful for being able to have those relationships. And I think that is because we have conducted ourselves in a you know, with honesty and integrity, which kind of I try to run that throughout our business with the people we hire, with the people we work with. I think that I'm grateful for. What I would like to see is us moving this facility from, you know, apple cherry juice and branching into more cold press juice equipment. We have cold press juice products and co-packing. We have a UV pasteurizer coming that can pasteurize cold press juices. So that's kind of an alternative to the HPP. I would love to see us branching into that. That's on the mobile juicing part, like doing our own brand of juice, of apple juice, cherry juice, blueberry juice, whatever juice. On the juicing system side, I think we have done enough to promote ourselves in the cider industry. Again, what I would like to see a bit more is branching out into the cold press juice space, I think there's a lot of benefits that we can offer, especially the larger cold press juice places, with efficiency and yields and all of that. And I would like to see ourselves branching more into that.